Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me today. We're continuing on in a message I've entitled, The Way Out of Discouragement. And we were using as a text one verse of scripture found in Numbers 21 and 4, referring to the children of Israel, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Imagine, they were living and were going to spend the remainder of that 40 years in a desert wilderness, and they did not have the comforts of Egypt, even though they were slaves there. At least they had plenty to eat, and there wasn't the uncertainty. And I mean, if you've ever been in a desert, there are all sorts of, you know, scorpions and snakes and all kind of, and cactus and all sorts of things. I don't know what that wilderness was like, but it was a pretty barren place. It was not an oasis, a place of trees and running water. So it was a very difficult time for them. And so there are many reasons for discouragement. That's what I've been addressing these last several days. And as I brought yesterday's broadcast to a close, we were looking at Moses. And he was, first of all, he was one of the male children of the children of Israel. And all the male children were to be destroyed because a Pharaoh arose who, quote, knew not Joseph. And things were very good when Joseph was alive, and he became second only to Pharaoh in terms of leadership of the government of that nation. And because of his wisdom that God had given him, he was able to preserve the grain and the food supply. So when there was famine in that entire area, people were able to come and trade for food. And so God had honored him, but after time passed, God was blessing the Israelites. They multiplied, and so then they became servants to Pharaoh. And so he saw the injustice Moses did, and he went out to help his people, and he murdered an Egyptian, and it was known of Pharaoh. And so he escaped from Egypt, and he was discouraged. He was 40 years in the backside of the desert, herding sheep. And when God appeared to him in that burning bush, he was, because he had been discouraged and because of his own, what he felt were his incapacities, he said that he couldn't speak, that he was doing everything he could to get out of it. And so often we feel that way ourselves, that God is asking something of us and we don't feel that we're capable, we don't have the ability, the talent, the education, the background, whatever. We tend not to accept what God wants us to do in faith. And when the Lord answered Moses, God didn't answer in a way we probably would have liked best, you know, to persuade him that he really was eloquent or that his tongue was not slow of speech. The Lord simply ignored all of that, passed all that by as of being no account whatever. And he simply called attention to the fact that he, as creator, had made man's mouth and would be himself with the mouth that he had made. Who hath made man's mouth? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. You know, it makes me think of that passage in 1 Corinthians in that first chapter, verse 26, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, nor many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." And so when the word of the Lord, also thinking of Jeremiah, told him he had ordained to be a prophet to the nations, Jeremiah felt himself to be entirely unequal to such a work and said, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child." But the Lord answered, "Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatever I command thee thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord." You know, beloved, sometimes we are truly our own worst enemies. Discouragement can come in many subtle forms and disguises. Our own special makeup, personality or temperament is one of the most common insidious of our enemies. The enemy knows how to just work on us so that those things that are we may have as weaknesses, they are used greatly to his advantage. And so other people, you know, who are made differently, they can be cheerful or courageous, we think, but somehow it's going to be just very difficult and hard for us. So what's the remedy? Well, beloved, they were discouraged, the people of Israel, because of the way, the difficulty of the way. And some of you listening have been discouraged because the way has been so hard. It really has. Sometimes you feel that, you know, other Christians, they seem to be blessed and prospering, fulfilled and happy. And yet, beloved, some of God's most choicest vessels go through times of great loneliness, of great sorrow and grief and loss. And God has the right to deal with each one of his own as he chooses, and he has a purpose and a reason for it. I've often felt that some of the most powerful, the greatest saints of God are totally unknown, and eternity alone will reveal the faith, the courage, and the strength they had. So, what's the remedy? Well, if we indeed had to fight our own battles, then yeah, there would be legitimate cause for discouragement. We can't, but beloved, there is one who can. His name is Jesus. Our lack of ability to fight then becomes an advantage instead of a disability. Paul meant when he said, he wasn't just being poetic. This was a reality, a spiritual fact to him. He said, "When I am weak, then I am strong." And beloved, we can only be strong in Jesus when we are weak in ourselves. Our weakness therefore becomes our greatest strength. Now that's a paradox. That's something hard for the natural mind to understand, but it is a truth. And as you know, of course, when we disobey, that opens a door to spiritual attack also. So there are so many ways that the enemy can use to just get us down. But what I've just been burdened for these days of this week of broadcast is that those who are discouraged, it's a place that you don't want to connect with anyone. You really want to isolate. And that's not God's plan. I prayed on yesterday's broadcast, some listening today, maybe that weren't listening. Father, let's just pray right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord. We rebuke the spirit of discouragement, of a faint heart, a failing spirit. Father, you said you would strengthen us with might in the inner man. That's what Paul prayed for the Ephesians. And Father, I pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to be granted to your people, that we will understand that tremendous paradox. When we are weak, then we are strong, because it's your anointing. It's not our ability. It's not our talents. It's not what you have gifted us with. It's not even the abundance of the spiritual gifts you've given us. But no, Lord, it is your anointing. It is your presence. It is the power of the Holy Ghost working in us. us both to will and to do of your good pleasure. So, Father, I rebuke every bit of discouragement, and I thank you, Lord, for that hope that maketh not ashamed. I thank you for the faith of God. Lord, you're the author, the finisher of our faith. I pray you will perfect the faith of those who are listening, and Lord, you will cause them to see that way of escape, that you are the way out. You will make all your mountains away, Lord. So all the difficulties, all the mountains, the things that seem to loom as impossible obstacles ahead, God, you will make them away for your beloved. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, we're talking about, you know, the causes of discouragement. You know, another very subtle cause for discouragement is the fear of man. Sometimes it's timidity. What will they say? What will they think? And sometimes this form of discouragement is apt to come under the disguise of a due consideration for the opinions of others. Well, on the surface, that sounds good. We want to be sensitive to the feelings of others, but as well as the reactions of the other people, that's good. But it can be dangerous if it exalts them and their response in a personal way to you into a place of God, if you will, idolatry, and esteems their opinions above his promises. And beloved, that's what the fear of man is. We are just overwhelmed by what peers would say, friends would say, co-workers, family members, whatever it is. We tend to be overwhelmed by the fear of man. And God wants us to fear, have one fear, and that is to fear him. To fear him, as Jesus said, who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. If we fear him with the right kind of fear, not a cringing, dreadful kind of fear, but an awesome respect for who he is, God will be with us and he will fight our battles. We can stand still and see his salvation. Praise God. Well, thank God for the word of the Lord, which is strength to all of us. And if you are in a place that you need the support of agreeing prayer, if you haven't seen victory, if you keep praying and it's just sometimes it takes someone else agreeing with you because there is power in agreeing prayer, I invite you to write. The announcer will give our contact information. If you email, I will confirm receipt and pray. But if you'd like a personal answer, I've got so many, oh goodness, files of testimonies of people that have been blessed by the word that God gave in due season. So thank you for joining me. I love you. Pray for you every day. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.